For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer tonight. Father, we quieten our spirits before you, and we ask, Lord, that as you speak through your word, by your spirit, that there come within us a revelation. Revelation that's beyond just a mental knowing, but a spiritual knowledge that would come into us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about believe you are led by the Spirit of God. You'll notice that the title is not just led by the Spirit of God, but believe you are led by the Spirit of God. And when you think about being led, you know, there's lots of things leading people now. Think about the Spirit of God leading you. Do you think the Spirit of God's going to be leading you into bad things, or into the curse, or into something that is going to be, as the scripture talks, about being entangled in the affairs of this life? So what's the Spirit of God going to be leading us into, and how is he going to be doing that? As Bible-believing Christians, we should be aware of those things. So we're going to have a look at a few things tonight. Let's have a look at Acts 24 verse 14 first of all. Because one of the foundational things, and Jesus talked about it being foundational, is having the Word of God as the foundation. He talked about the man that built the house upon the rock rather than the foolish one, the one that built the house upon the sand. And of course, the one that built the house upon the sand had destruction come into his life. But the one that built the house upon the rock, the foundation was firm, wasn't it? And not only was it firm, but when things came against that house, against that foundation, that man's house was able to stand. So that tells us that we have to have a foundation built into our lives. And Jesus used the picture of a house being built upon a rock, which tells you that there was effort put into that man's life to build that life upon the Word of God. Jesus said, "You're building upon his words." Praise the Lord. Looking at Acts 24, and we'll look at verse 14, we see Paul the Apostle, who, as you know, went through quite a lot in his life, quite a lot. We won't go into detail about what he suffered. But one of the things he did say was, "None of these things move me." But there was one thing that did move him, and that was being led by the Spirit of God and hearing what God had to say about things. Now, verse 14 says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." I think this is a foundational scripture to understand. You see, he wasn't going the way that people were saying, "Well, this is the latest fad, you need to get on board." In fact, he was going the way which they call heresy. You know, he was going the way which was not a popular way. Not a popular way. But notice he talks about it being a way, or the way. The way. And so there is a way to go, a particular path to go. And the path that we go must have the light of God's word shone upon it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist says. So we see here that he talks about the way, which they call heresy, but it doesn't matter what they call it. What is God calling it? What is God saying it is? Okay? And he says that he is believing not just some things. So he's not having just a selective belief, but believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And of course, that pointed to Christ fulfilling and the fulfillment of many prophecies in him. And here we see Paul saying, the way that I'm going, I'm believing on the basis of all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So he's got that believing basis. He's got a believing heart straight away. That's the type of heart we have to have. A believing heart about the Bible. Believing. And so there's the foundation. There's the foundation that we are to build into our lives, so that when we look at scriptures, we don't just in our minds think, oh, that's a nice thing to have. But we say, no, what is the Lord saying here to me? All right? So we're not relegating the scriptures to, they were written for an audience hundreds of years ago. It doesn't really apply to me. No, that's not the way to go. You must see that the Holy Ghost has authored the book. Okay, the men and women, the men of God had written things down and through inspiration. So we know that the Holy Ghost has authored it, and he is alive today, and the Bible says he's guiding us into all truth, and God's word is truth. So think about this guiding that's happening. If he's alive today, he's guiding us into all truth, he's leading us, then it makes sense to believe the word of God as written and believe what the Holy Ghost is doing. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, and as believers in Christ, we must understand that although many people are deviating from what I'm saying, that is, they're very selective in their believing, and we know that because, you know, they'll come to a verse and say, well, I don't like the way it is in, for example, the King James Bible. I'll go and have a look and see whether there's a verse that suits me, a version that'll suit me, and say that there's something different there. So you can see it's rampant through the churches, this selectivity, rather than believing what's actually written and getting the Holy Ghost to lead you and explain things to you and take you along the right way or along the right path. And this is so very important. So having a believing heart, as I preached on the other day, is a very important attitude and heart to have, to have strong faith. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit, it's little s, it's talking about your born-again spirit here. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is, what? Written. Where's it written? In the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Okay, if someone says, what's the Word of God today? Here it is, the Holy Bible. What specifically is it? The Authorized Version, the King James Bible. So here you have it. It's written, and at the moment it's, you know, as a book, it's got words on paper, ink there, and just that by itself is not enough, is it? It's got to be believed. It's written. It's not written for nothing. It's written to be believed. And there's a process that we see here in 2 Corinthians 4:13. It explains it. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So, this is the approach we must take as Word and Spirit Christians, is we take the Word as truth, and we say, what is the Holy Ghost showing to me out of it in his leading me and guiding me into all truth? And therefore, what should I speak? What should I speak? So the same Holy Ghost that wrote the book of Genesis and right through to Psalms and the prophets and right through to the book of Revelation, that same Holy Ghost, that same Spirit of truth, can speak to our hearts because he's in us and show us his word as we say, well, I believe it, and therefore you can speak it. So we're going to come to a few scriptures which, to the natural man's way of thinking, when I say natural man, that is those who aren't born again, who don't have a spirit of faith, to the natural man's way of thinking, they'll think, well, that feels the right way to go. That seems the right way to go. But is it really? Is it really? Certainly, there's many on the exact opposite or deviant path, because they think, first of all, that the Bible is not the Word of God, or they can be selective about it, or that, or only sort of like the really super spiritual can be led by the Spirit of God. But is that really the way we should be thinking? Well, no, it's not. According as it is written, I believed. Take what's written, believe it, and therefore you speak it. So consistency must be with what is written and what is believed and spoken. So let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, we'll look at verses 1 and 2 first of all. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. And we see that there is a law, a spiritual law in operation. As we walk after the Spirit, and we've got to say, okay, if we're walking after the Spirit is leading us. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Is that you? Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you born again? Are you saved? If you have Jesus as your Saviour, say, yes, that's me. This is talking to me. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So how are they walking? They're not flesh-led, are they? They're Spirit-led. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So what does the law of sin and death do? It brings corruption. It brings wrong thinking. Isn't that what the word tells us? Not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to have our minds changed, renewed. And you can't do that in your own natural strength. You can't do that if you're not relying on the Spirit and being led of the Spirit. But one good thing is that when we see these scriptures and we believe them, we should put them into our mouth. What we should be saying is, I walk after the Spirit. You might say, well, I don't feel as though I'm walking after the Spirit. What's feelings got to do with it? What's written? I walk after the Spirit. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a good one to say. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You don't have to be tied to sin and death, sin and everything that's connected to it. Okay, you are free. Free to serve God. Free to go forward. And also in this chapter, look at verses 5 to 14. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So that's what their mind is centered on. The things of the physical, the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, what's your mind centered on there? Are you after the Spirit? Are you walking after the Spirit? I'm asking these questions because I want to provoke you to be thinking, am I? What's been my conversation today, my words and actions? Have I been saying the right things in agreement with the Lord? Have I been saying that I'm free from the law of sin and death? What have I been doing today? Now, it's not for me to go and to be inspecting people's lives. The Holy Ghost will speak as people allow him access to them. And he will say things and say, this is the way. This is the way. You say you're a believer? Believe this. So, verse 6 tells us a terrible connection here in the first part. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. There's like the green light indicators of a spiritually minded person. That their minds are centered on those things, life and peace. Do you find that when you read the Word of God, it's like something that's really precious as you're reading it? It's like you're spiritually eating it. Well, that is true. That's a spiritual thing that's happening. Because your spirit is yearning for the Word of God. It's taking that Word in. Do you feel that when you feel is not quite the right word there, but do you sense that when you're partaking of the Word of God that you're being washed, your mind's being washed? And, you know, have you ever been amongst the worldly people and they might be talking filthy talk and things like that, and you feel as though you've just had a bit of filth around you, and then you go to the Word and it's like a washing, you know? Look, most of those don't really know what they're doing. It's just natural to them to be carnally minded and that, but it shouldn't be for us. Okay? So we can start to, as we believe the Word of God, speak it out as we're led by the Spirit of God. You know, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Are we saying what the Scriptures are wanting us to say? So, we're looking at verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a washing. It's a wonderful way. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Why isn't it subject to the law of God? The law of God in its purest form is the Word of God. What's a carnal mind doing? It's selecting things against the Word of God. It's selecting things that aren't in line with the Word of God. What does a spiritually minded person do? It's partaking of the Word of God. It's taking hold of that Word on a constant basis, drinking and eating it in. Okay? So a carnally minded person is not subject to the law of God because they've not bowed the knee to God. So I asked a person the other day, I said, are you an atheist? Not an atheist. I said, are you an agnostic? Well, Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I'd say you're probably an agnostic then. That means it says he doesn't know whether God exists or not. See, they're in darkness. That's the whole point. They're in darkness. And yet, many Christians, sadly, are running to the non-Christians for advice before and about things, before they come to the Lord, before they come to his word, and so on. Now, if you think about it, the Spirit knows everything. He knows everything. And so we should be very, very interested about this whole area of being led by the Spirit of God. Very, very interested. Regardless of whether some people might say, oh, you can't, yes, you know, there's those super spiro people, you know, they think they know, they think that God is talking to them. Well, you better hope that the Lord is talking to you. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you hearing the voice of the shepherd? Well, you should be. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So, yes, we want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear God. It'll be spiritual hearing. Continue to look. Have a look. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, Christians shouldn't have a carnal mind. We should have a mind that is being renewed, as I mentioned before. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. Automatically you could see that if you're going after the flesh, if you're being led of that, if you're carnally minded, you're not pleasing God. It's not the way of faith. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We should say, I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm not in the flesh. I'm not walking according to the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? You say, yes. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Say these things. Do you believe it? As I said before, you believe the Scriptures, you read this, you should be saying, wow, what? What's this saying? This is saying the Spirit of God dwells in me. I'll say that because I believe it. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Isn't that a good thing to say? The Spirit of God dwells in me. That's something to say, isn't it? The Spirit of God dwells in me. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you have to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you if you say you're a Christian, because otherwise you're not his. You're not in the body of Christ. So we acknowledge by looking at the Scripture. We haven't worked it out with our natural mind. We've looked at what is written. We believe that the Bible is, the Holy Bible is the Word of God, and we've looked at what is written, and it says that if you're part of the body of Christ, if you're part of Christ, then the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you should believe that. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. A good thing to say is, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay, it's a good thing to say. There's a lot about that. The Bible talks about the gift of righteousness has been given to us through what Jesus Christ has done. So we see that the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life in us. The Spirit that dwells in me is life. It's a good thing to say. Do you believe it? You believe it? You say the Spirit of God that dwells in me is life. He quickens my mortal body. He quickens my mortal body. Okay, so you're believing. You say it. You say it. You can choose to believe. You can say, I choose to believe this. You know, I choose to believe. All that type of thing God has made us so that we can choose to believe, or we can choose to reject and not believe. Now, God is very strong against unbelief because he knows that it's a choice. All right? That's what it says in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he does, doesn't it? The Spirit dwells in me. The Spirit dwells in me. Okay, that's what you should say. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's a good thing to say. The Spirit that dwells in me quickens my mortal body. It's a good healing scripture to say. The Spirit that dwells in me, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that dwells in me quickens, makes alive, strengthens my mortal body. If you have the Spirit of God doing that, if you have the Spirit of God doing that, and remember, you believe it, you put it in your mouth, if you have the Spirit of God doing that, you can go forward in strength right into your old age. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's clearly things you should be doing in your body. And of course, we should be presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And there's things that you shouldn't be doing using your body. If you're led of the Spirit, you choose to believe that God, the Spirit of God, is in you, and that you are being led by the Spirit of God. Why do we say that? Because let's believe what verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, you are a son and a daughter of God. If you are, then you should put into your mouth, I am led by the Spirit of God. Every day, I am led by the Spirit of God. I'm always in the right place at the right time because I'm led by the Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Spirit of God dwells in me. I am led by the Spirit of God. And that's something that you believe. You believe you're a son of God. You believe you're a child of God. And you believe that you are led by the Spirit of God. Now, you may have gone down a wrong path, even recently. But what do? You don't just say, well, I couldn't help it. No, you say, Lord, I want to get back on track. I want to get back onto the way. I repent of that. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. And I go forward now in you. And I am led by the Spirit of God. So you get back onto, I am led by the Spirit of God. You walk in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. So believe you are led by the Spirit of God. Look at Psalm 37, verse 23. You know, we're made righteous not by our own strength or our own abilities. In fact, those without Christ, their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. We've been given that gift of righteousness. And so we should believe that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us and leading us and speaking that as well. And here's another good one to speak in Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You should say that. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Think of what that means. Ordered by the Lord. My steps are ordered by the Lord. My steps, every step that you're taking, the Lord is directing it. He's guiding you into that. Steps of a good man, you've been made good by The blood of Christ, as I just mentioned. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There's a delight attached to that. A joy attached to that. 2 Samuel 22, verse 33. Let's have a look at that. 2 Samuel 22, verse 33. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Your answer should be yes. Yes. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God or a daughter of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in me. I am led by the Spirit of God. It's not on the basis of your feelings, it's on the basis of what is written. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe you're a child of God? How did you become a child of God? Did you receive Christ as your Saviour? Did you repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Saviour? Believe the gospel of the kingdom? Yes. If you did, you're a Christian. You're a born-again believer. And you are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so the confession you can make that you are a born-again believer can lead you to also make these other confessions, these other things based on what you're believing. So looking at 2 Samuel 22, verse 33. It says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. What is God working in your life? What's a good thing to say? I believe this scripture and I say it. God is my strength and power. You might feel weak, but the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my way perfect. This is one thing that I confess. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. You can take that straight from the scripture. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. This is what's happening. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. He maketh my way perfect. Praise God. Look at Isaiah 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. So if you have the basis of the Word of God that you're building your life upon, it's not just lip service. Oh yes, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. There's many that have that type of lip service. I believe the Bible. But the spirit of faith is more than just saying, I believe. It's like, I believe and therefore I speak. I believe what's written. And therefore I speak it out. So there's, yes, you take the word in. You meditate on the word. You take it in. And you have good success that way, the Bible tells us. But you see that it is true. You understand spiritually. You have that spiritual knowledge that it is true. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Do you have the Lord as your Redeemer? Yes. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Been redeemed. Redeemed. Bought back. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You're in spiritual Israel. Okay? So it's applying to you. I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Some good things in here, isn't there? Good things to say. So thank you, Lord, I am redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm redeemed by that precious blood. I am redeemed. Thank you, Lord. That on that basis, you teach me to profit. You teach me every day to profit. What's the best thing? What's the best thing? What's the best thing for me to be doing? Is doing that a waste of time? Or is doing that a waste of time? Or is doing that the right thing? You know, we've all in the past, and I'm just as guilty of it as anyone, of wasting time by doing things that are just, well, they might not be bad as such, but it's just deviating from what God wants. But notice what it says here, which leadeth thee. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Are you led? Say, yes, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Leadeth thee by the way which thou shouldest go. There is a way that you should go, that God has directed for you. He orders your steps. There's a way that you should go. The way that you should go. You say, thank you, Lord. You are leading me by the way that I should go. Put it into your mouth. If you believe what the scripture is saying, you come back to it after tonight and you look at it and you say, I believe what it's saying. I am redeemed, so therefore I'm one of those that qualify for this scripture. I believe that God is teaching me to profit. God is teaching me to profit. I believe that God is leading me by the way that I should go. I don't want to be doing or going into things that are going to waste my time, Lord. Lord, show me the way I should go. Lead me in the way I should go. And I believe that you are doing that. Just a few more scriptures. John 14. Let's have a look at John 14, verses 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. So the title of tonight's sermon is Believe You Are Led by the Spirit of God. There's many scriptures that are telling us that God is leading his people. But if you say, I believe what is written, you must speak it out. You must say it. Speak it out. There's a spiritual law in operation there. If you believe in your heart, and don't doubt, those things that you say will come to pass. A spiritual law in operation. That's a law of faith. We'll talk more about that in the future. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Once again, we can look at this and we can see that there are things which God is saying to us, to the believers. Verse 16, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So that's the promise of the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay, this is not for the world to have. At the moment in our society, 95% of people you meet are not qualifying for this scripture, because they're not even Christians. That's going to change in the future, but at the moment, in the middle of this infidel period of history, at the moment, 95% of people you meet in Australian culture, Australian society, do not qualify for this scripture, in that they are not led by the Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of God in them, dwelling in them. But verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. You should say, I know him. I know the Spirit of truth. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Did we read before in Romans 8 that the Spirit dwells in you? Yes, we did, didn't we? So he is in you. You know him. He's wanting to say things to you. But you've got to get your believing and your mouth in line. Okay? You've got to get your mind renewed and washed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Be in that category. Look at verses 26 and 27 of John 14. 26 and 27. There's some really good confessions here which you can put. If you believe these scriptures, you can put into your mouth daily. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, that's the promise of the Father, he shall teach you all things. You can say, I'm taught all things by the Spirit of God. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You can say the things that Jesus has said, the Word of God, is brought to my remembrance by the Spirit of God. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have, because we're led by the Spirit of God, we have life and peace. Didn't we read that before? Life and peace as we're spiritually minded. As we're spiritually minded. And I want to finish with John 16, verses 13 and 14. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, well, he has come, came on the day of Pentecost, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So we should say, I am guided into all truth by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God into all truth. He's leading me in the way I should go. Not in the way I shouldn't go, but in the way I should go. Good thing to say. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of God is showing me things to come. I'm not blind. I'm not wandering around in the darkness. I'm led by the Spirit of God, and he's showing me things to come. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. There's wonderful things that God wants to show to you and to me. He is showing us on a daily basis as we believe what is written and we say, I am led by the Spirit of God. God is leading me into all truth. God is leading me in the way I should go. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. I thank you, Lord, for the dedication and for the commitment. I thank you, Lord, for the belief. And we choose to believe the Word of God. And we choose to speak it out. Because we know, Lord, that you have put it into our hands, and it is a miraculous thing that we are seated here. We are seated, or we are listening to this, Lord. It is a miraculous thing. It hasn't come about by chance. It's come about by us being led. Thank you, Lord, for leading us thus far. And we ask that you continue with us as we commit to continue with you. And we praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Praise God.